All right, let's open our Bibles back to Revelation 18. We're going to continue on. This is, again, we're in the midst of the judgment of the mother of all harlots, the great whore, Babylon. Babylon, again, that religious system. I know that so often we've heard, and again, no one can absolutely define exactly, well, it's a city, it's this one, it's that city, it's over here or there. Let me tell you something, it's everywhere. It's a plague upon this world. Babylon is that system, and it's a mystery of iniquity that, as the Word of God, and we'll read there again, it's working right now. It's been working in Paul's time. It's been working, I'll tell you, since Satan been cast out of heaven. It's here. And it's been a mystery, and it's going to be fully revealed at this time we're speaking of here, at the latter half of the tribulation, that seven-year time. Now, this religious system will infect all leaders, it will infect all nations, and it will infect every religion into the bed of this great harlot that, again, will cause her diseases to infiltrate the minds and cause these ones to follow her and to give her power. And the reason for this is, will be very magnified tonight, is because, as the Word of God has told us a long time back, the love of money is the root of all evil. The simplicity of that statement is truly, if you want to say the talons, the claws that have got into these people, this infectious disease, it truly is. It's the love of things. It's a materialistic deal. And you think about where we're at right now. Isn't that what we're just, it's insatiable right now? Everybody wants, I believe we're at a time, everybody has more than we've ever had. And yet we're at a time of coveting like we've never been before. I want more. I want more. I deserve more. We hear all of these different words, and I'm not going with it except for that's flesh. Jesus Christ reigning in your life with food and raiment, therewith to be content. And that's to each and every one of us. We understand that. And God knows our needs. He knows us better than we do. But let's not try to fool him as we're trying to fool ourselves and other people. But this love of money and possessions causes the nations, the leaders, all these religions to concede all power to her. And through her, that power then is going to be given in all authority to the Antichrist and the false prophet. And as we've been told, again, this system is working right now. And as described, as we'll see here tonight, these signs and her description, you're going to see very clearly it's rampant today. And it's rampant today in today's religions. Yes, especially, I would note, in the Roman system of today. But I really want to emphasize for us to know, this is a culmination of complete demonic, inspired evil. We're talking about a demonic possession that the world has never seen before, that's going to be at a level that this earth has never seen before. And as we left off last week in verse 8, here comes such a precious time. She's judged. That judgment goes forth. And she is given double according to the works that she has done. Again, this she, Babylon, the great harlot, this religious system. And we were so thankful, as it said in verse 2, as Jesus Christ calls out, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. Praise the Lord. And I look forward to that time. I do. All of her self-works. And what were her self-works that were so abominable to God? Was her glorifying in herself. Her apparent worldly goodness. Calling herself a virgin. Presenting herself as the bride of Jesus. Or the bride of God. In need of nothing. And matter of fact, again, pointing to the Antichrist, that he is God. And all of this stuff just most putrid of all to God. And therefore her judgment will be harsh. I thank God her judgment will be complete, and I thank God her judgment will be sudden. What a rejoicing this will be. Not in necessarily the judgment, but yet that it magnifies the Lord. that He is God, that He is King of Kings, and that He is Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus, that your beautiful name, your beautiful word that has been so abused, so discarded and blasphemed, rejected, oh, the time that's soon to come. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. And it's done and it's finished. And I thank the Lord that we'll be there in that day. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and we'll pick it up in verse 9 tonight. And right here it goes on to say, after this judgment, after Babylon has fallen, God has judged her completely, double portion. She's utterly burned with fire, and strong is the Lord who judges her. So here's the reaction of the world as they see her melting away. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. There's no remorse. There's no repenting here. There's no conviction. They're just distraught because their riches have ended. Their wealth is over. And notice here that they departed from her. They're standing afar off. There was no real obedience. That was just because of the love of money. There was no affinity. There was no caring. There was no nothing. They're just afar off. They don't want any part of that. You know, they're thinking that somehow they're going to escape this judgment and all of this that is going to be poured forth on her. But I'll tell you what, rest assuredly, they're going to be judged completely in it. They're part of it. There's no escape from that. And really listen to what comes next here. Listen to the emphasis of the wealth and the power of Babylon, completely controlled. And yet in 1 hour, it's completely gone. Verses 12 and 13. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stone, and of pearls, and fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. Those men, those merchants, were buying their, they were selling this, and their merchandise were all of these things, and it was all supplied and given through this system, Babylon. And I think how incredibly rich and powerful she is. And it's hard to fathom that in some respects, but brothers and sisters, there is some great, great wealth today. And especially in religious systems today, they are the wealthiest of the entities that are on the face of this earth. I'll list off a few. Just think of these religions. Scientology, we'll start with that. $1 billion. The Church of England is worth $8 billion in all of its holdings. The Mormon Church surpassed $40 billion this last year. Islam, its holdings of land and oil and all things, they estimate at $1.6 trillion. And that's number two. And number one is the Catholic Church. And there's no way they can estimate the wealth, but it's in the trillions. The Vatican actually even has its own bank. The Vatican Bank has $8 billion in that bank. And in the Vatican, in the city itself, there's $16 billion worth of gold bars right now. It's here. It's been here. It's growing, and it's about ready to just pop forth. And then you add to that the political power of these institutions. These are the backing of wars. These are the ones that have, to be honest, let's be very honest, manipulated, caused countries to take countries to stop, different things of that nature. The power that's in these institutions is immense. And I pray it's not hard to see that these things are prime. But yet still, as powerful as all this is, as anti-God as so much of it is, you can see that until he that hinders the bride is taken out of the way, that full force of the dragon, the devil, will not be allowed to come forth. I mean, think about, like I say, you think about the power that these institutions have and these the political influence. But when the enemy is given full rein to go, when the devil comes forth like a roaring lion, oh my. And here are all the pieces. They're all in place. They're all just sitting there poised. Because God has appointed the wicked for the day of evil. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that it doesn't make us discouraged or upset. But we should be at an excitement level that in Christianity, it shouldn't be surpassed. We see things on this, again, the threshold that are just ready to burst. You talk about being thankful for the information society in this day that we live in. To know these things, to see these things in the Word of God, it truly is a blessing. It's an immense blessing. And that's where, again, brothers and sisters, may we always really seek the Lord. Lord, let me see things from seated together with you in the heavens. See, when I'm looking at stuff down here in the world, I'm going to be messed up. I'm going to have the world's vision. I'm going to have the world's attitude. I'm going to have the world's demeanor. And I'm going to have the world's defeat. But when you see them where you are seated, where you are seated as a Christian, it's victory. It's, oh my, this more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Oh my goodness, it's wonderful. I'm so thankful to God that we can see this and understand this is our time, praise God, that is just on the threshold to come. But see, this demonic union that will join all of these forces to empower the Antichrist and the false prophet with full authority is right at the doorstep. But I want to point out the last part that we read. Think of that. And they were selling slaves and souls of men. It's so sad to my heart to think about this. But brothers and sisters, I pray we understand that's going on right now. And people need to realize that they've sold their souls and they are slaves of the enemy when you reject the blood of Jesus. Amen. You may think you're free. You may think you're powerful. You may think of all these things. But you're a slave of the dragon. And you are completely, again, controlled of that without the blood. Now, the mystery will be completely revealed at this time, but we know that this mystery, once again, is already working. And let's go back and read in 2 Thessalonians. We've been going back to this verse the last 3 or 4 weeks, and God help us to truly just know that in 2 Thessalonians, we just kind of keep going back there, because what a hope and an abounding, and what love wherewith we are loved in seeing this bridal message. But it says there in 2 Thessalonians, verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This again is speaking of this Babylon. This is speaking of this great whore that again will be completely revealed and completely in full authority because the Lord allows the enemy, the devil, to have this power to give this authority to, again, this great harlot. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And just make this real simple for yourself in the Greek. The mystery already works. It's sitting there at the threshold, ready to just burst through. But the word letteth means until he that is holding it back is taken out. That's what that means, that letteth, taken out, finished, and received out of the midst. So again, the company of the bride of Christ is holding this back. It's going to all go forward and be completely turned out upon this world when that bride is finished and received out of the midst. That's the exact translation of that in the Greek. It's so wonderful. So praise God. When that first trumpet sounds, this all begins to break forth. This begins to come about, and these things will come upon the earth. And here again, as we go on, repeats the horror for these merchants. And again, the Lord really magnifies this love of money, which again is the root of all evil. It just is. It's very sad. It just is, isn't it? I mean, the Word of God is true. You can always map it right back to that. You can try to say it's this, this, this. Nope, it was the love of money, which is the root of all evil. It's not the money, but the love of it. And that's how it goes. So let's go back now and read 14 and 15. And it says there, "And the fruits that thy soul lusts after," again, this is back to the merchants, "are departed from thee. And all these things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all." Isn't that such a complete opposite of a Christian's life? Our future is that, again, we attain it face to face. And it's better and better and better and better. As, again, man's is just gone. It's over. It's complete despair. "The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." I think it's just so pathetic. And God help us not to be pathetic. Don't be that way with money. Amen. Amen? Don't be that way with things. By the grace of God, don't. And but for the grace of God, all of us are going to go there. And don't be judging one another when somebody's hurting because something was, again, taken away from them. It can hurt. Be an encouragement. Be a spiritual one that would restore and understand a life in the things of God. You know, again, you hold somebody for a while before you start shooting whatever's maybe in your mouth. Be still. Be compassionate. And then let the Lord speak. And that's the truth. And been guilty of that many, many times where you just get way ahead of it and you don't want to do that. And you don't know what somebody's feeling, but I know the one thing is the sincerity of the word of his grace spoken, that little cold cup of water, that's what will begin to restore somebody. And I thank God. But Lord, help us not to get into that kind of greed. See, when we set our affections on the things here, it's going to be a horrible time. We don't want to put our confidence in uncertain riches. Our riches are in heaven. And I just to go back, and the wonderful encouragements of wisdom from Brother Hill was, you know, just keep the hands open. God will fill them up. But whatever he deems to take out, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job taught us that, amen. And Job learned that over time. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You have a double portion coming if you'll just believe. God gave Job a double portion. He doubled everything. You're going to have a double portion. Just believe what he's given. And that's what pleases God, brothers and sisters. It's not your work. That's just going to hinder it. Faith pleases God. Believe him. Believe him through your successes. Believe him through your failures. Just believe him. And that believing word will change your heart. It'll change your countenance. It'll change the way you see everything. But believe the Lord. It's faith. Amen? You start getting ugly and disgusted and looking at somebody else or looking at yourself. I'll tell you one thing. The word of God is not ministering to you. You're not listening. You're hearing, but you're not listening. Amen? All right. So let's be about our Father's business, praise God. But here is their cry. Again, once again, there's no repenting. There's no remorse. It's just greed. Just everywhere. It's abundant greed. The root of all evil is just so entrenched them in loving things. Their whole desire is with things, and their whole life is about things. What makes them happy and pleased and satisfied is things. God help us to fight against that. And we're in a time of abundance. And God, again, encourage our hearts to look to him. Verse 16. And they said again, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. See, such a image here of this, again, the great religion of the day. All of these descriptions that they're giving here, you can say all the religions, but you think about all the pomp and circumstance and the ceremonies that we see of these religious institutions, the gold chalice, the crown, the red robes, the purple robes. You know where I'm going with this. I don't need to tell you. It's just out there. And it's been out there, and this is man's deal, and this is what man does. But even more so is this insatiable love of money that is made apparent. Let's go on to 17 through 19. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to nothing. And every shipmaster, so all trade, all commerce, everything that the GNP of every single country, every shipmaster and all the company in ships, the sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and they cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Isn't that something? I mean, this is so pathetic. I mean, this is really a tradition in the Middle East where somebody dies, they're throwing up the, you know, the dust and they're dying, and there really is a sadness here, but this is pathetic. Money is more dear to them than life. Money is more dear to them than anything. It was sweet to visit with Scott and thinking about our Lord. You know, he was reading about these terrorists and different things, and they were interviewing some of, well, we're not afraid to die. We're not afraid to die and all that. You know, they're saying it's we're willing to die. It's better to die and this type of thing. Well, you know, as the word of the Lord said in Revelation, it says they'll seek death and they won't find it. Isn't that something? They seek death and they do not find it. God knows how to judge. And let me tell you something, you're going to go that way, you talk about torment. See, they'll cry for the rocks to fall on them, and they're not going to find it. They'll seek it, but they won't find it. Isn't that something? And yet here are these ones, they're looking at all of this destruction, and all they can do is weep over it. That's how sad it is. And I'll tell you what, if that's what your life's about, it's a sad life. Because it's going to end. What are you going to do? Build a bigger barn and a bigger barn? Barns will run out. And by the grace of God, we better get it satisfied right now. The satisfying is Jesus. And to continue to go after it and to fight those kind of feelings of the flesh in that regard. And it can be lots of different things, brothers and sisters. So don't go looking at somebody else. You better let the Lord seek your own heart and say, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, let's do it. Praise God. All right. So, you know, God help us, I put down here, to always have everything in perspective. You'll take nothing out of this world. You won't. That's it. This is it. Just the what will remain is the word of God. Hallelujah. But here again is the contrast. Such inconsolable sorrow. And yet, here we're going to come to verse 20 and 21. And the redeemed in heaven have overwhelming and uncontrollable joy and rejoicing, for she has been judged, and all glory now is to the Lord. And that's in verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel, again we're back here to Jesus, took up a stone with a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And this is wonderful, brothers and sisters. There's no more remembrance of this. Not only is it destruction, there isn't even remembrance. And how sweet this is, because think of over the years, the ones that have been martyrs here. Because, see, it's saying that the holy apostles and the prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. See, that system been working all the time. And see, that system thinks that when they martyred, murdered the different disciples and all, you know, the devil thinking, oh, I got another one. You know, I took that out. But see, the devil's so stupid that God, again, like he did with Stephen, through Stephen's death, he's witnessing to a Paul. Through Stephen's death, he's still witnessing to us today, isn't he? Praise God. And see, that's the word of the Lord. And just you can't do anything against it. And you're not going to stop it. And I thank God it's forever. But you think how over the years, brothers and sisters, the ones, again, that have been the martyrs throughout the history, the innocent blood shed of the Lord's vessels by the hand of evil ones. But now comes the day of rejoicing. Now comes the payday of the righteous. And what a day it'll be. See, the system of the devil is now becoming destroyed. That Babylon, Jesus, the mighty angel, and I love this. He does this himself. He casts that millstone. And that millstone, what it speaks of is utter destruction. And so much destruction, not only is nothing left of her, there's no more remembrance of her. It's over. Praise God. And that's it. There's not even going to be a thought anymore of this. Now, let's listen to verse 22 very, very carefully, because this is very exciting here. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. Meaning all of that shall not be heard in Babylon anymore. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. Now, brothers and sisters, what this is saying here is this Babylon, this system, truly had all of the music of the world. It had all the music of the world. It had all the craftsmen. You look that up, it means the artists, the entertainers. Yeah. Godlessness is very apparent in those circles today. Not trying to, you know, point it out, but when God does, I'm going to point it out. And it's not something that's, hard. It's not hard to see. The Bible tells us, and we'll go there to Ezekiel in just a minute, the devil is a pipe organ within. The devil was the chief musician in heaven. He was the most beautiful cherub. And here we see that when that complete empowerment of the devil to go forth like that roaring lion, it'll be displayed the same way on earth. It'll just be the complete fullness of the dragon. Go on over to Ezekiel 28 and you'll understand what I'm talking about here. In 28 verse 13, this is, again, the prophet Ezekiel, as the word of the Lord coming through here, through him, speaking of Satan. This is his description. This was him back in the garden. Thou, in verse 13, thou, Satan, hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, gold, the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes, and the tablets and pipes, what that speaks of is all of the musical instruments, the pipe organ within. Again, exactly what we're speaking of here in this city, Babylon, was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise. See, here we go back to the things, the money, the lust of the flesh. This is exactly what Babylon is. It's just Satan. Okay? They have filled the midst of thee with violence. And then I was thinking about how today, think about what our whole kind of our speak is about. There's no more bullying. There's no more harassment. You can't say anything that's offensive to anybody. We're the most violent we've ever been as a society. It's out of control, and I'll tell you what, it's a tinderbox. And you're going to see it go off because they're not looking to Jesus. It's not going to be solved by a political party. It's not. It's not. They're going to look to a man to do that. And I'll tell you what, that man is the man of perdition. And I'll tell you, that's the man of sin. And it's going to come forth in a way that it won't be a tinderbox. It'll be a nuclear explosion. But it says, filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Boy, aren't we there? Woe, we're there. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Again, back there to traffic. That means merchandise and trade. So there again, it goes back to that love of money, exactly what we're talking about with Babylon. And this basically is the prophet speaking of this time that we're talking about right now that's going to come upon the earth. Therefore, I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. Remember how we've already read and we saw that even though Babylon, the great harlot, gives all of that authority and backs the Antichrist and backs that false prophet, and then the Antichrist will turn upon her. He will be the one that will have those armies to destroy her. Read what it said again. I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that beheld thee. Praise God. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Yes, praise God. Thanking the Lord for this. And what a time it will be. But once again, to really see this, as we go back in here to Revelation, I thank God for his grace. Remember last week we said, as he said to his people there, his sons, he says, come out of that. Come out of that. It's not all that way. There's a few. You know, it was just like when Abraham was concerned with Lot and his family. It dwindled down to just a handful of people, didn't it? Well, I think we're in that time. It might be just a handful of people. But we need to understand and know this, that in this city, it's the voice of the harpers. It's the musicians. Back there to verse 22 of chapter 18. And the pipers and the trumpeters, they shall not be heard anymore at all in thee. The craftsmen, the artists, the entertainers, with whatever crafty be, they shall not be found anymore in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now, brothers and sisters, this is going to be a rejoicing of all this ungodliness that's going to be finished. And once again, God help us to see this right now. God help us that even though this is a mystery of iniquity, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We're not. And we need to pray. And as the Lord said, it's not of God to tempt, but he's got the tempter. And that tempter's there. And he's going to tempt with these things. And God help us to lay hold of the word. Love the word. The word works effectually, powerfully in them that believe. It's the grace of God. It's the word that makes the right decisions in your life. It's the word, praise God, in believing by faith. That's the power, praise God, that does exceeding abundant above you. True. But it's the word. It's not your willpower. It's not your discipline. It's not that. It's the word of the Lord. and really praying, Lord, let me believe that and let me apply myself to those things and to hear the word of the Lord and to saturate my life in the things of God. And not just on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Friday, but especially on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I need to be in the word of God. I need to be amongst people that love the Lord, amen, that love God, to hear that word. I don't want to get over there. And again, we understand that God, you know, he put us into the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. But we're going to sure be like the world if we're not in the Word. Amen. Amen. And be encouraged by one another. I need that supplying joint in my body to be supplying me. So what does that mean? I need to assemble myself together with believers and believers of like precious faith. Because when I'm not hearing the whole counsel of God, I'll tell you what, I'm going to become dim to those things. I want to be a true worshiper, amen? On fire, fervent love fire. I don't want just clapping hands and shouting and an amen. I want that worship that was in that upper room. That's what I want in my life. I want that upper room, praise God, in my daily walk. That's the Spirit's power. We need to fight for that. Fight. Because it's waning. And it's about to go out. We're in the day of the latter rain. And those that it's raining on, it's never rained harder. But as I learned as a pilot, remember Ty even telling me about this. What happens right before it all ends is usually the most fierce part of the rain. It, and then, well, I'll tell you what, I've never seen it raining in those that it's raining in. I've never seen by my, and again, I'm not saying never seen, but at least in my experience, the oneness that God is bringing to us into in worship. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Compacted, tightly fit, loving one another, and loving one another more and more. Amen. Kind, tender-hearted. That's what's beginning to really pour forth. We need to stand in that. Amen. Amen. This isn't duty. No, this is love. Praise God. So, in verse 23, not even a flicker of light remains there. It's complete destruction. So magnified and emphasized of God's judgment. Hallelujah. For he is God and it's over. Now, there's many thoughts on this bride and bridegroom. And matter of fact, if you go through Jeremiah and Nahum, you'll find many references of this as you go along. Jeremiah 7, 16, Jeremiah 25. But just to surmise this, it says, again, there's not going to be heard the voice of the bride or the bridegroom. Religions have claimed to be that wife. It's going to be silenced forever. That false church, that false great whore, that Babylon, that mystery of iniquity, it's not even going to be a memory. That's what I love. You know, you're talking God. You know, man still remembers all of our history. And this was the greatest of the great of what mankind could do and bring about. And there won't even be a memory. No proof of it because it will be gone. Now, note this as we close tonight too. Where it said in that last part of that verse, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. So once again, brothers and sisters, note that it didn't say some nations. They're all deceived in this. Amen. They're all there. And you can see that in our poor country as well, too. But the great men that it speaks of here were great whores of the whore. And that's the truth. They deceived and intentionally promoted her wares for self-gain. They do it through two meanings of this word sorcery, that word sorcery there. First of all, which is the second meaning of it, I want to address first. It means idols. Once again, how many times have we been reminded tonight money, material things. They trip us up. Greatest in marriages, the greatest reason for divorce, money, finances. We get to bickering. I'm thankful to the Lord. The one thing I continue to go back to all the time with those married couples that come in here and to tell them right from the beginning, don't ever forget why you're here today to get married. It wasn't because of a car payment or to get a house or to accumulate stuff. It was because you love one another. And you didn't care what you had when you got together. So why do you care now what you have when you're still together? Pretty simple, is it not? Amen. This is what's pointing out here is so much all throughout this is this love of money, the root of all evil. And don't think we're immune to it, brothers and sisters, because we have flesh, material things. We'll add into that power. Man becomes insatiable to get power. Man will sell himself literally to the devil to achieve power, to achieve things. Over and over throughout history, we've seen it. We're seeing it play out today. And it's an ugly thing. But now getting to the main definition of that word sorcery. In the Greek, it means pharma. And if you recall, Brother Hunt, when he came up here and gave that sermon, it means drugs. See, in Romans 1, it says that their conscience, again, it's seared, but it's a reprobate mind. That means it's a mind that cannot make sense. It's a mind that cannot make the right decision. And if you really think about that, it's a mind that's drugged. So yes, it's drugged with money. It's drugged with things. It's drugged with power. And all of those things can be a drug. Do you know that? When you're flashing money to somebody, money, you know? Isn't that really... pretty much everything's about that. I mean, yes, it's inevitable. We do need money, but we learn to ask God. Amen? We learn to ask God. And I thank the Lord for the simplicity of it all. I pray for you. I pray for my family. I pray for my sons. As a young parent, very inexperienced, you do have aspirations for your kids. You do think about different things. I'm telling you, it gets so wonderfully, divinely simple. I just want men of God. I just want you to be people of God. I know God will add everything else. Everything else. All the after effects of being men and women of God that are in love with Him, that know the Word, that rightfully divide the Word of truth. Everything else will be completely taken care of. But we just magnify that. God continue to anoint our lives to have that love and that sincerity. But through this drugging, that's how these nations are deceived. And you think about, again, we're in a very interesting time. Men are more slaves of money than at any time ever. Think we're working more hours. We work overtime. We don't have any time free. We're slaves to a paycheck. Things are costing more and more. It's harder for us to even live. You know this. Families are starting to have, many people have to live in a house. It's amazing to me what things cost and how much we have to work. It's not getting easier, it's getting harder. But it's that love of money, and it's rampant. But then once again, too, even the literal drug, what's going on? We've never had epidemics like we have with heroin and all of these different things. And you can say what you will, but even the legalization of drugs, It's infecting. It's infecting the way people think and act. And basically, they know for a fact, all of them, they get you to the point that you don't care. And when you don't care, you're in trouble. You want to care. You want to have fire about care. About the only thing to care about. But I want to be in my right mind. He's so beautiful. I want to see Him in His fullness. And I don't want to have this thing clouded. And yeah, there are many different things throughout the ages that have been done this way, is that as far as ones that wanted to take over the world and all of this, and I know that's just the enemy, but it's right here in the Word of God to get you dependent upon man, get you dependent upon your government. That's not a political statement. I'm just telling you, that's exactly what the focus is, that you have to have somebody else besides God. I mean it. Just what it is. And then that if you can basically dim the people's minds, well, how are we going to do that? Get them not to care. You drug them. And then the other thing as well, too, is that breakdown of the family. That I don't need a man. And I don't need a woman. We don't need to be married. And we don't need to have any of these things. This is where we're at. I'm not trying to be depressing to you. But it is depressing when you look at the world. But when you look at it from where you're seated, it's the most exciting time there could be. He's going to appear. And those that are looking for him, he's going to appear that second time. And he's going to come. He's been tarrying, but he will come. He will come. And all of those types and shadows, all of those things, praise the Lord, just like in type when he was coming to be born of that virgin, it was all beginning to show forth, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Oh, they'd heard the story, there was just a handful, and we're back right again. When they say, where is your Lord? When even the family of God ain't looking for him anymore. When there's the great slumber in the churches, where are we at? It used to be all about the things of God. Even in the larger denominations of Christian churches, it's not about that anymore. It's about politics. It's about this world and making the world a better place and all of this. Brothers and sisters, if you read the Word of God, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Do you really believe the Word of God or not? What are you going to pick that's real and one's an analogy and this and that? Come on. Come on. Believe God. You'll be a happier person. You'll be so happy when you just settle down. You know what? God said it. That's that. Want to argue? Go over there and argue to the brick. I don't want to argue with you. That's not what we're going to do. So it's just amazing where we're at. But again, this is the system that's been at work for ages. And now the Lord will allow it to go forth in the fullness of its plagues. Everything's removed. And here, finally, this Babylon stands, the goal of the devil, which has always been to destroy the Word. To destroy the Word. To leave man completely hopeless, because that's where you'll be without the Word. See, the enemy wants to do anything he can to get us Christians apart from the things of God. To have you not thinking about those things, because that's when we'll get low. But just think to the unsaved, that's why he just wants to destroy all of that. Let's end it with verse 24 tonight. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So here again, we see that it's completely upon her head. We've seen the signs over the years too of this, brothers and sisters. From the very beginning of Jezebel pursuing the prophet to kill him. Amen? From, again, all of those disciples. How about the slaughter of millions of Christians through the ages by Nero, Constantine? I just think Constantine was doing it in the name of God. That's why people say, oh, well, the Christians did that. No, 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 they didn't. Not the ones that were truly about the things of Christ. Those were only in name of a religion. Come on. 7th century, the Muslims, the French Revolution, the Muslims again in the Ottoman Empire, the millions and millions that were killed. How do you think and why do you think this country started in a lot of ways? Why did they call them the founding fathers? Why did they get here? Because they persecution for religious. They wanted freedom to worship God, the simplicity to worship the Lord. And yet here we are even today, and the rate at which Christians are being killed in Asia, in Africa, the Middle East, all of these different places, that satanic system is here. Amen. But praise be to God, it's not only going to be gone not just in a day, it's going to be gone in an hour. Isn't that wonderful? When God says it's over, it don't take time for that. It's over. And we thank the Lord for it. So I'm glad I know these things. You know, I'm glad we're not ignorant of it. We can see it. And as it hurts us, we can warn one another in love. You know, that we're not of that. We don't need to go that way. We don't need to be wearing the world on us. But I even like even more so the hope. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Praise his name. Let's stand and be dismissed.